Revelation chapter 20 for just a few moments tonight. And I appreciate every song that's been sung and good testimonies that's been given. I want to thank you for the offering tonight that has been received. And I pray the Lord will bless us tonight for just being faithful in giving in this special offering. If you'll turn with us tonight, Revelation chapter number 20, if you're able to stand with us tonight in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, we'll read just a few verses tonight and pray, and then you can be seated. Revelation chapter number 20 tonight. Notice with me in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Lord, I ask you tonight, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word these next few moments. I want to thank you tonight for the good singing, everything that's been done, the testifying, the giving. We ask you now, Lord, to just speak to us. If there's somebody else here tonight that's lost, I pray the Holy Ghost would convict their heart, and may tonight they come to an altar of repentance and be saved by the grace of God. As we've been reminded about that heavenly home, I ask you, Lord, if you would, to help us to lift our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help cometh from the Lord tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice with me tonight for just a few moments that the term 1,000 years is used 6 times in this chapter here. It's mentioned in verse 2 and 3 and 4 and verse 5, 6, and verse number 7. 3 times the word is used in connection with Satan, as we looked at some of those earlier verses last week. And then twice it's used regarding Christ's reign on earth. And then once it is used to describe the length of the time between the resurrection of the righteous and of the wicked. I want you to think about this tonight, because all 6 times refers to the same 1,000-year period that we call the millennium. Amen. And we know this to be the golden age. We know that it'll be a time when the earth will be full of peace and tranquility, and Jesus Christ will be on the throne, and thank God there'll be no more war, amen, during that time. And we know that the government is going to be upon his shoulders, and the Bible talks much about this 1,000-year reign of Christ. It is the golden age, amen. It's what the psalmists look to. It's what the Old Testament prophets look to. It's what the disciples were searching for and looking for. They were looking for a Messiah that would come to this earth and that would reign upon this earth and that would usher in a kingdom. Amen. Well, that kingdom did not come in the Old Testament. It did not come in the Gospels, and it has not come in the church age. But you rest assured, amen, there is coming a dispensation of time. There is coming a golden age. Amen. And with the help of the Lord, I want to preach a few minutes tonight on that subject, on the golden age. Amen. Thank God there is coming a time when for 1,000 glorious years Christ is going to sit upon the throne, and the earth is going to rest. The curse is going to be lifted. My friend, the ground and the land will rest. The animal kingdom is going to find rest, and all of humanity is going to find rest. It's going to be a lot like it was in the Garden of Eden and during those times and those days, and Jesus Christ is going to rule this earth. Amen. Now, what is the purpose tonight of the millennial kingdom? Why would Jesus do this? Why would he not just take us to heaven and burn this big mud ball up? Amen. I would say one reason tonight is that it will be the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel and to Christ. If you go back to Psalms chapter number 2, and you can read it when you go home. David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves together to take counsel one amongst another against the Lord and against his anointed. Amen. Brother, they're going to do battle against the Son of God, as Revelation 19 says. But the Bible said that God sits in the heaven and he laughs. Amen. He'll have them in derision. Amen. He said he set his king upon his holy hill. That holy hill is Zion. Amen. That holy hill is the nation of Israel. And the king is the King of glory. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of that millennial reign is that it's going to fulfill God's promise to Israel and to Christ that was spoken about. Our Lord reaffirmed that in Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 29 when he spoke to his own apostles. Amen. And then the kingdom one day, thank God, will be a worldwide display of Christ's glory when all the nature will be set free from the bondage of sin. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 19 spoke about that. Creation is groaning in and of itself right now. And when you think about the storms and you think about the hurricanes and the tornadoes, this earth is literally groaning in and of itself because of the curse that lies upon it. But thank God, the one in Revelation chapter number 5, the only one that was worthy to open that book, that John saw the Lamb of God that was standing in the midst of that throne. He was worthy to open that book. You know what that book is? It is a title deed to this earth. Amen. And Jesus is going to lift the curse when he comes. And thank God, there'll be no separation. There'll be no storm clouds. Thank God, there'll be no more troubled days. It'll be sunshine for 1,000 glorious years. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. And the whole world will be at rest. For it will be a golden age. Amen. And it will be the answer to the prayers of the saints. As Jesus taught us how to pray when he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the purpose of the millennial kingdom. I want you to notice tonight three things concerning this kingdom age, concerning the saints tonight. Because when Jesus comes back to this earth, it's going to be a glorious time, but you and I that are saved tonight are going to have a glorious body. Amen. Can you imagine that? As they sung this morning and we shouted about, I'll see you in the rapture. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're saved, I will see you in the rapture, and you'll see me in the rapture, and we'll see our loved ones in the rapture, and we'll see King Jesus in the rapture. I'm telling you, it gives me encouragement to know that the rapture could take place at any moment. And my friend, when it takes place, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 that you and I that are saved, our bodies are going to change in the rapture. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. We're not going to have the same body, amen, when we come back that we've got right now, but it's going to be a glorified body, amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 40 tells us that our body, my friend, is going to change its dimension, amen. He said that there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrials, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another, amen. I'm talking about in the rapture, thank God, we'll have a change of dimension. We're leaving the terrestrial behind and we're taking up the celestial. Amen. As a songwriter said, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And I'll shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, a sweet hour of prayer. Amen. There'll be a change in dimension and there'll be a change in destiny. As verse 42 of chapter 15 said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but thank God it's raised in incorruption. Amen. Won't it be good to have a body? Thank God that'll change, have a change of destiny, and we'll have a change of dress. It'll be sown in honor and it'll be raised in glory. A dishonor, but raised in glory. It'll have a change of disposition. It'll be sown in weakness, but thank God it's going to be raised in power. It'll have a change of dynamics. It'll be sown a natural body, but it'll be raised a spiritual body. He'll
shall have a change of destiny. As the Bible said, we bore the image of the earthly, and so we're also going to bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. I don't know how this is possible, but we're going to be known as we are known, but we're not going to be the same. Thank God we'll have a glorified body, and we're coming back to this earth in a golden age, in a glorious time, with a glorified body. Hallelujah. That new Jerusalem in Revelation 21 is going to hover over the earthly Jerusalem, and we that are saved will have access into the city of the new Jerusalem. You say, I don't believe a bit of that. Well, I'm not preaching to non-believers. I'm talking to people that believe this King James Bible. Amen. It make no difference to me. You say, you're dreaming. Then don't wake me up. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. I thank God. I believe we're almost. I can see the lights of that city as the end is near and Jesus is coming and the tribulation will be on its way. But we that are saved, we got something to look forward to in this world and in the world to come. Hallelujah. I want you to think about the saints here tonight in this text. Inside the kingdom age, I want you to think about them in the golden age. I want you to see, first of all, the crowning of the saints here, because there's three classification of saints that's going to be crowned. There are the saints who were taken before the tribulation period. That's us that are saved. Amen. Notice what he said in verse number 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Now there's no doubt the disciples will sit upon the thrones, and they'll judge the 12 tribes of Israel. But hey, the Bible tells us that we also that are saved are going to be judges and kings of this earth. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 5 tells us that these that are sitting on these thrones are not angels. Amen. He said, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. You see, the church is in view here, and the saints of other ages are in view in this text. When the Lord returns to this earth, there's going to be two types of classifications of people that's going to be working, and my friend, or that's going, should I say, going to be taken down. You say, what do you mean? Isaiah chapter 24 and verse number 21 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, talking about this day, that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Now the high ones that are on high, that's those fallen angels, that's those principalities, that's those that are sitting upon the throne. But you got to remember something. In Revelation chapter 20, the devil's been put in the bottomless pit. Isn't that right? I'm talking about all these devils and all these imps. Their leader's been cast into prison for 1,000 years because he's been dethroned. Guess what? They're going to be dethroned also, and the high ones are going to be taken down. That's what Colossians 1 in verse 16 said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One of these names, all these powers and these principalities that works under the authority of Satan is going to be dethroned when the devil is cast in the bottomless pit, and God's children, the church, those that have been taken out before the tribulation period, we're going to be given positions inside the kingdom. Amen. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus spoke about the parable of the 10 virgins, which has to do with the nation of Israel. He spoke about the talents, what has to do with the church. And then he spoke about the judgment of the nations, which has to do with those nations that supported Israel and those nations that went against them. He will judge those nations. He will judge the Jews to see those that are granted access into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we that are saved have already been to the judgment seat. But my friend, the judgment seat of Christ and the giving of those crowns will determine determine our placement in the kingdom as Christ, after he judges those nations and he judges those Jews, the church is going to be given executive and legislative order, will be handed down to us, and we will carry out the business of the king. Amen. See, the Bible said in Isaiah that the government shall be upon his shoulders. He's going to have a government when he comes. And you know who's going to help run that government? We that are sitting here. Now, some of y'all are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And I'll tell you, you can go home and read it, amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to life?" No doubt that one day we that have been taken out, and John said, "I saw thrones here, and they that sit upon them, and judgment was given unto them." There's the first classification, those that have been taken out before the tribulation period. Then there are those saints who were tortured in the tribulation period. He said, "I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God." Amen. I'm talking about there those, my friend, those saints that were martyred. The Bible talks about that. When we think about those saints, we're reminded how that they were martyred back in the book of Revelation, earlier chapters, under that fifth seal that was broken. They were martyred, and we saw, my friend, how that the beast took them, and their souls are seen under the altar there as they offer up prayers. These martyred saints that we read about in the early chapters of Revelation are now being crowned. Amen. He said the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those that traded their martyred. They traded their life down here, my friend, to be crowned and to serve during the millennial time. It's going to be a time when saints are going to receive their reward. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean for me?" It means two things tonight. It means, number one, we ought to look at their dedication to God in the time in which they're serving and they'll be dying. And we should compare it to our dedication to God. You know, the average person, I'm talking about the average person, sitting in church tonight, it is hard to get them to do a lot for God in this hour. They're too busy. They got too many things going on. I'm not fussing. I'm just saying how it is tonight in most places. People have too many things going on in their life, and it seems like, not for all, but for some, it seems almost as if it is a struggle, and then as if it is something that they have done wonderful if they just make it to church three times a week. I think at the judgment seat, we're a lot of people, a lot of us, all of us to a degree, but in particularly this one thing I'm talking about. People are going to be embarrassed at the lack of dedication and commitment to serving God. America, American lifestyle has ruined us. Amen? Church goes past a certain time in most churches, people start getting antsy. That's how little dedicated they are to the Word of God. When going to church is not anything that I'm really doing. Church is for me. Church is a privilege. Church is something that people around the world would love to have, that they don't just, we just heard a missionary, I think it was here, just said the other day, talked about people walking in the rain to come and to stand and to hear the word of God and preached and talked about. I heard a missionary just this past week talked about taking a flashlight and going deep into the jungle, Brother Ben, there in Papua New Guinea, and been walking for, I think, several, maybe a couple of hours back in there, and said it was pouring down rain, and thought that, well, there won't probably be nobody even show up. And when they got to that little little hut of a sanctuary that they had, they said there was over 100 people sitting there on a dirt floor waiting for the man of God to come, the missionary to come, and to preach the word of God to them. And in America, people sit on padded pews and look at their watch and wonder when they're going to get out to go to the restaurant. They're not interested. They're not dedicated. Amen. What we call dedication. And nowadays, I was listening to a group of young people from Guam. Some of you were there. And they started singing the other day in that youth conference. And when I heard them singing, I noticed something about both of the songs that they sing. And there's nothing wrong with the songs that we sing. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But both of the songs that they sing was all about commitment and dedication and loyalty to Christ for what he had done for them. See, the rest of the world, and this is not a condemnation tonight, but it's something we should all get a hold of, myself included. The rest of the saved world around us does not view Christianity through the scope of blessings. And I like the song they sing. We shout it, and we ought to. It would be wrong not to praise God for blessings. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? But a lot like the testimony we heard, that it's not about things. The rest of the world sees being saved as giving your life, your whole life, to the cause of Jesus Christ. Has nothing. They're not living for this world. They're living for the next world. And the souls of these martyrs, they're being crowned because they gave their life. They paid the ultimate sacrifice. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, and I hope I didn't kill the service tonight, but I'm saying that our life is not, that there's nothing wrong with being blessed, and there's nothing wrong with thanking God for what you have, but we have to look beyond that realm and see that really serving God is not about if he blesses me for ever doing anything, because he doesn't owe me a blessing tonight. I've already received the ultimate blessing of being saved by the grace of God. And as one great preacher used to say years ago, anything less than a slaughter ought to be counted a blessing in our life. Our life, young people, you hear me well, our life is to be living for Jesus, dedicated to Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, there's a lot of people sitting in our church, and perhaps even some sitting here tonight. If we just boil it down to, there's some folks sitting here tonight, you don't love Jesus. So, preacher, are you indicting me? No, but I am indicting probably someone tonight. People do what they want to do. You come to church if you want to, and you are faithful to church. But I see people sometimes in pastoring, and I can tell they're there because maybe they feel like they have to be, or they're going to let somebody down, or somebody's going to get on their case, but there's no desire to be there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that's you tonight, you're either not saved. And I tell you, how to know if you're not saved. If there's never been that desire, then you're not saved. Amen? Or you're backslid and you've got away from God, but you can go back to a time when you did. You ought to check up tonight. If going to church is something you dread every time the doors are open, you're in trouble tonight. Something's really missing in your life. But brother, you trying to make me, no, I'm trying to shake you up enough where you really take a good look at your soul and see, are we dedicated tonight? Young person, listen to me. The best life you'll ever know is living for Jesus. Even if this life is cut short, they win in the end. Amen. Life does not, you don't win if you get everything you want. You win if you give him everything you have. He'll bless you in the end. And these saints, they were tortured in the tribulation. I got to move on. These saints who went through the tribulation, those that did not receive the mark of the beast, neither with his image, they didn't receive his mark in their foreheads and their hands. They didn't worship that image, amen. And they lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years. The crowning of these saints here. Think about this tonight. These saints have been crowned. crowned because that's what Jesus does. He is going to crown him, crown us, and we're going to crown him. Amen. You say, I'm not worthy to be crowned. I'm not neither. I'll tell you, every crown that we win, we're going to do what they did in Revelation chapter 4. When we bow at his feet, we're going to cast them at his feet. I want to win a crown to put at the feet of our Savior. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, God has already been better to us than what we deserve. And when you think about it, in that golden age, he's going to let us live in that perfect atmosphere. He's going to let us live, my friend, in that day and that time. And we're going to be doing the King's business. I'm telling you, the best life you'll ever know is living for Jesus. But we're living him in a sin. We're living for him in a sin-cursed world, in a sin-cursed body. Can you imagine living for Jesus in a day when that curse has been lifted off the world, and that curse has been lifted off our body, and there's no restraints, there's nothing holding us back, there's no tempter to bother us, there's no sin to overtake us. We can serve him better than we've ever served him before. Hallelujah. I see the crowning of the saints. I see the categorizing of the saints. Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now think about this. The phrase general resurrection is not found in the Word of God. Amen. On the contrary, the Bible teaches about two resurrections. The first is of the saved, and that leads to blessing, as we see in verse number 6. And the second is all of the lost who are unsaved, and that leads to judgment. Amen. And these two resurrections, they're separated by a 1,000-year reign. Amen. They end right here. The first resurrection ends right here with those who are saved. This is what Daniel spoke about in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 2 when he said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Amen. I'm talking about this first resurrection. It is different from those resurrections that we read about in the Old Testament and those resurrections that we read about in the Gospels, and it's different in this sense. Those that was resurrected in the Gospels in the Old Testament, listen, they got up. Lazarus got up. The widow of Nain's son got up. Jairus' daughter got up, and so forth and so on, but they all had to die again. Amen. But blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection, because thank God, listen, we'll get up like Jesus got up on resurrection morning. We'll get up with a brand new body, one likened unto the Son of God, and thank God we'll never die. It'll be just like he said in Revelation 1 and verse 8 when he said, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And on that resurrection morning, thank God, we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Amen. Won't that be good? That makes me want to shout. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if I could run, I'd run all around this pulpit right now. Because I'm telling you, I don't know, like you said, whether it be by the clouds or whether it be by the clouds. I'm telling you, it doesn't make no difference. Thank God. We're going to have a new body in the end. We're going to stand in the presence of our King. We're coming back with our King. And on that great resurrection morning, death will flee and it'll be victory. Hallelujah. In Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? I think Methodists will shout on that day, don't you? Jesus said in John 5 and verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And the Bible said, there is none that doeth good, no, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to tell you, tonight it's not our goodness, it's his goodness. There's four reasons why we ought to shout. Number one, because we've been redeemed. Number two, because we've been remembered here. Thank God we're going to have part in that first resurrection. Because we're reigning. The Bible said that they shall reign with him, with Christ, 1,000 years. Because we've been resurrected. Amen. But the rest of the dead live not. That's the unsaved. Until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Thank God. When that 1,000 years is up, my friend. But there is this first resurrection. Are you saved tonight, do you know Christ and the free pardon of sin? You say, Brother Gravely, that scares me to think about Jesus coming. Well, before I got saved, it scared me too. Amen. But I'm telling you now that I'm saved by the grace of God. I would say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I mean, wouldn't it be a good day if the sky opened up and the clouds rolled back and the Shekinah glory of another world came back bloodbusting through this world and we heard the sound of a trumpet, thank God, and the grave started opening up and the dead started rising up, amen, and the glory of another world overtook this world, and in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, thank God you were standing in the presence of those you had planted out in the silent city of the dead. Won't it be wonderful to stand and see them in the springtime of life and know that we'll forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's going to be a great day. Praise God. Won't it be wonderful? No more taxes. Somebody say amen. No more elections. Amen. Women, no more makeup. Go ahead and shout. Thank God. There's a whole lot of no mores. We're going to the land where there'll be no more dying. There'll be no more crying. And in the kingdom age, thank God, a man can be 100 years old and he'll still be young again. What about that? Amen. The desert's going to bloom like a rose. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will sit there at the brow of Moriah's hill there. Thank God on David's throne. And the whole desert will be blossoming. And the King of Glory will rule this earth. And you and I, children, are going to play in the street. I'm telling you, there's going to be laughter on every corner. And Psalm said the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. And the Bible said there'll be a stream running out of that throne. My friend, where Jesus is sitting, it'll run down through the streets of Jerusalem, or down through the city of Jerusalem. It'll empty out into the Dead Sea, and thank God that sea that is dead will be alive again. Ezekiel said its waters to swim in. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good day. Thy friend, when those bones are in that valley, will be resurrected and restored. Israel will be the capital of the whole world. Thank God we'll worship God and we'll sing His praises. And the Bible said we'll make a joyful noise unto the Lord, oh ye lands, and we'll serve the Lord with gladness. We'll come before His presence with singing. We'll know that He is God, and that it's He that has made us and not we ourselves. We'll go to Jerusalem and enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We'll be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? We'll say, for the Lord is good. Amen. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm telling you, the more I preach, the better I'm feeling. You say, preacher, I'm sweating. Well, you ought to be up here right now. I'm telling you, there's coming a day. What a day. What a day that's going to be. And then I notice finally the character of the saints. I like the way verse 6 starts off, because it is the sixth beatitude of the seven beatitudes of Revelation. As He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Can you imagine that? Our state is described right here. We're blessed, we're happy, and we're holy. You know, holiness leads to happiness. And the reason this world is so unhappy and so many people in this world are unhappy is because it's unholy. The happiest people I ever met in my entire life and that you've ever met, you know who it is. It's not just saved people. But it's saved people that are sold out to God. In fact, the most unhappiest people I've ever met were not lost people, but it was saved people. They were half in and half out. Oh, we're not perfect, but I'll tell you, when you surrender to God, you'll live a happy life. Trying to be more like Jesus and trying to live as holy as you can for the glory of God
will bring happiness in your life. You young people, listen to me. Staying away from sin, living clean, living pure, living holy for God will not make you miserable. I'm telling you, just look at people living out in the world. They're miserable tonight. You look at people in church that are not dedicated to God, they're miserable tonight. But you take a young man, you take a young lady that surrendered their life to God, I'm going to tell you, they're trying their best to please God and live according to His will and according to His word. I'm going to tell you, they're not miserable, they're happy. Amen. When you're torn between two worlds, you can't be happy. But when you surrender to that world and say, God, I'll live your way and I'll be what you want me to be and I'll do what you want me to do and I'll go where you want me to go. And Lord, I'm not going to waller in the sin of this world and I'm not going to sell out to this world. I'm not going to live an ungodly life. I'm going to tell you what will happen to you. That holiness will lead to happiness. Amen. And you'll listen. That's what the Bible said. The spirit-filled man is speaking to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That sounds like somebody's happy. Amen. I'm going to tell you, during that golden age and that kingdom age, we're going to be happy, friend. I'm telling you, we're going to sing and we're going to worship Jesus Christ. We're going to glorify His name. You talk about how many of y'all like good choir singing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're going to sing like we've never sung before. We're going to worship Him like we've never worshiped Him before. I'm talking about Jew and Gentile standing in the streets together with one voice. We'll magnify the King of glory. We'll sing like the angels sing. We'll glorify His name, our voice. We'll never tire or grow old. And for 1,000 years, we'll stand upon this earth and we'll glorify the God of this earth. We'll glorify the God of heaven. I'm telling you, this morning or this evening, and I love to go to church. I love to worship God, don't you? But there'll be no restraints. There'll be nothing holding us back. There'll be no tempter to hold us back. There'll be no flesh to hold us back. I'm telling you, we'll be in the Spirit. We'll sing in the Spirit. We'll worship in the Spirit. We'll feel the Spirit. Hallelujah. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the honor. We'll give Him all the praise. We'll magnify His name. We'll glorify His name. We'll lift up His name. Hallelujah. We'll praise Him, won't we? He'll be worthy of it. They have been given a part. Blessed and holy is He that hath part. You know, I'm just thankful I have part. They're given a promise. Look at this. On such the second death hath no power. They're given a position. The Bible said they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Notice this. And shall reign with Him 1,000 years. I sat down this afternoon and I just looked up scriptures about the golden age. Isaiah said, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Can you see that? Can you see a little child walking down through the streets of Jerusalem with a lion or a leopard? Amen. I mean, just curled up under its mane like a big old kitty cat. Amen. Leading them about. Verse 7 says, and the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. I'm talking about a cow and a bear laying down beside each other. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I think I'll get me a lion in a millennial. Amen. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put forth his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah said in chapter 35, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, the rose of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. He said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break down, and streams in the desert. I'm talking about, can you imagine that? When Jesus comes back and walks through that eastern gate, And that heavenly city comes down over that earthly city. And the Bible talks about it at the summit, at the top of that mountain, amen, where the very throne of God is. There's a river of life that flows out of that throne. And on each side of that river, there's a tree of life. And the Bible said it bears its fruit. And the leaves are going to be for the healing of the nations. The Bible said in Zechariah 14, verse 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And I leave you with this last verse tonight, Zechariah 14, 20. And in that day shall there be bell upon the bells of horses, holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. I'm going to tell you what we need tonight in our churches. We need God to revisit, reopen our eyes to what lies ahead. I think too many of God's children has lived in this world with their head hung down low. We need to look up, friend. Oh, I know it looks bad around this world. I'm telling you, if I watched Fox News, I'd probably take a baseball bat to the television if I watched it. But I want to tell you something. I could watch that news. I could go home. I don't know why anybody would want to, but I go home and sit down and watch the news tonight. You know what happened? I just get depressed. Turn the internet on or something, watch that, it's just going to depress me. Now, I keep up with current events, don't misunderstand me. But you know, if you ain't careful, the more you watch it, the more you'll watch it. You'll be looking at that phone every day, seeing what's going on around the world. And you know what it does? It doesn't do anything but just cause you, some people it puts fear, some people it puts, you know, it puts worry, some people it, man, they start, you know, they start canning everything they can and, you know, building bunkers. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I'm putting a lot of food up. Well, if you're the only one fat in the county, we're all coming after you. You know that, don't you? You go ahead and do the math. We all start slimming down, and you're still fat and sassy. We know where the food's at. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. When I read this book, I don't care what's happening around the world. I know who's in charge tonight. And I'm not looking for this world to get any better. Not till Jesus comes. Amen.